Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Join Coach Collins and the Cats at Welsh Ryan Arena on Tuesday, February 22nd for a special Tuesday promotion. All tickets are $22. Buy now at NUSports.com. And Transition is being brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. One guy didn't want to brave the snow yesterday. The other guy won't pick you up from the airport. They're Parkins and Spiegel.
You know,
boys. That's right.
You know, this morning I picked my wife up from the airport because her flight was canceled yesterday after she spent an hour on the tarmac in Minnesota. That's always fun, right?
Did she have to stay at the airport? Because I always hate that. Like, that's the worst possible scenario.
Where you got to sleep over at the airport? No. No, she went back to a hotel.
Good for her.
I've never had to do that. Have you guys ever had to do that? We sleep over at the airport?
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I don't think I've ever slept at an airport, but, you know, plenty of terrible travel stories, man. When we were leaving the Super Bowl in Arizona in 2014, we made the huge mistake of flying Spirit Air, and they canceled. We did the week of shows Monday through Friday, went out Friday night, and had like a first flight out Saturday morning.
Which is actually a great strategy.
Oh, except you're drunk still or hungover.
No, but I mean, like, you're getting out of the Super Bowl city before the Super Bowl.
Correct. And they were, we didn't have tickets or press passes to go to the game, so that was our only option. And so it's like 6 a.m. We're at the Phoenix airport, Spirit Airlines. Your flight is canceled. Cool. Put us on the next one from Phoenix to Kansas City. No problem. That'll be Friday afternoon. What? 6 days later was the next flight that they were willing to get us out. You mean Saturday afternoon, right? They're like Friday afternoon. I'm like, ma'am, you know it's Saturday right now.
No, we're going
right?
to send you back in time to yesterday.
Yeah, it was so confusing.
So you stayed in the airport for 6 days.
I called my boss and demanded that we book flights on another airline.
That's hilarious.
We got out of there. So, you know, terrible travel stories, but I don't think I've ever actually slept in an airport.
Lawrence?
You end up in the late night situation or a snowed in situation where your first flight option is then the first flight out. So it's like, do I go back? Do I fight through snow? This happened to me in Pittsburgh. Do I fight through the snow to go sleep for 2 hours, knowing that I then have to come back here?
Do security again.
Go through security the whole 9 yards, or do I just find a quiet space and just do that? And I've done that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they really don't want you to do that. Like,
it's unsafe. I completely understand why they don't want you to do that.
I know, but not only that, like, they make sure that there is no area set up for potential comfort like that. Like, there's nowhere that you can lie down. Like, it's like that you got a bar between seats in every single spot.
Yeah, it's like public park benches now, where like they don't want you to sleep there and take up camp. Yeah.
A couple places have some nice, like, occasionally, like, the yoga room is unlocked or something like that.
Yoga room.
Yeah, there's airports that have, like, places where you can do yoga.
See, I always thought that it'd be a great place
like Midway has a yoga room.
There ought to be movie theaters at airports.
That's a good call.
That would be great.
Right? They ought to have movie theaters with recliners and stuff, because sometimes people end up there for hours at a time.
Yeah.
It's a long, long held thought. You know, one day all my ideas are just going to come to fruition. There'll be a passenger seat buffet. There'll be a dumpling truck with dumplings of the world. Everybody will be happy.
Midway has a yoga room. And you can go in there and you can go do your stuff. I don't know, with the COVID rules, it might be a little different, but
do we all have to wear yoga pants when we go in there?
Hey, if you got them, wear them.
Do they provide yoga mats?
I would imagine that there's mats in there.
Yoga room.
But there would be if I was.
At Midway Airport. Hey?
All right.
Yeah. How about that? A tranquil space located in Concourse C.
Yeah, a lot of airports have something like this where there's a a quiet room to be in.
You know, have you ever been in an American Airlines VIP club setting?
No, I'm not fancy.
Me neither, but one time I got in there and I was like, oh my God.
Was it like a secret? Like when you walked in, you're like, where did all this space come from?
Absolutely. Like, not only all the space, but like buffet service, like a fancy bar with the high-end stuff. Like gloriously comfortable couches, newspapers, and overstuffed chairs. I was like, what have they been hiding from me?
Money. They've been hiding money and exclusivity.
And I've never been back.
Yeah. No, I've been in one of those lounges, I don't know, a couple times, but it's tough, man. I've never flown first class. Have you guys flown first class?
I have.
Best I've done is business.
No, I have flown first class a couple times. Yeah, that's
it. Seems nice.
I remember Bernsey saying a long time ago, and he's right. That's why you want all the money. That's why,
yes.
Right there, because it is a very different kind of experience than being squished between strangers.
Yeah, Mel and I went to for her birthday. We went to Miami, and I was like, listen, it was the day after the Silver Room block party. So we were out late, like a bunch of people had come down and hung out. Shayna, you know, Jason's little sister, Jay, Layla, like a bunch of people had come to Hyde Park to hang out with us. And we were out late. So I knew that we needed to be taken care of on the flight to down to Miami. And it was an experience. I was like, man, this is great. And I always fear because people be like, you're going to get a taste of that and then you're never going to go back. To fly. And I'm like, no, I'll probably just go back because it'll be cheaper. And I don't mind filling out, getting in the A group at Southwest. Like, that's totally okay with me. But what did spoil me, first class didn't spoil me. Chartering with DePaul did spoil me. Because at the end of the let's see, was it Oliver Purnell? Yeah, at the end of the Oliver Purnell
OPP
tenure, they started to fly commercially to games. And that's an experience. We were on the Islanders plane one time. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, air travel can actually be like this. I literally drove up to the plane.
Yeah. It's a very different experience.
Yes. Sweet.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, I've never flown on a private plane. It looks amazing. Although the private plane, it does scare me a little bit how small the planes are.
Right. That's why I loved this experience. I don't know how comfortable I'd be on like a G5 or a G6. But when we're talking about, like,
I'd probably get used to it.
The size of a plane you would need to move a hockey team and hockey equipment.
Right.
Hell yeah. I'm down for this.
I'm reminded of the first time I ever flew first class, and maybe the only time I've ever, like, paid for it and been like, yes, I'm doing this for myself. I was trapped in St. Louis on a Sunday night.
Dear God.
I know. And I had, and my car had broken down. And I tried to rent a car.
This sounds like the beginning of like a blues song.
Dude, I was trapped in St. Louis. My car broken down. It basically was. And I was hosting the next day, and it was the early days of the Danny Mac show, when I was the in the Danny Mac show. And Mac was out, and filling in was Oak Park Vandy. So it was me and Vandy, right? On a Monday. And I knew that I had to get back. I couldn't just, you know, call in for somebody else to host with Vandy. So I'm trapped on a Sunday night. And I tried to rent a car, but I only had a debit card and not a credit card, so they wouldn't rent me a car.
Oh, wow. That era of time.
Dude. And it was like 11:30 on somehow it become like 11:30 on a Sunday night. And so I booked a flight from St. Louis to Chicago.
And the only thing they had was first class tickets?
No, I just realized that I was going to need to sleep. So I chose first class.
Good man.
And,
wow.
And the flight was like 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
And I slept for 44 minutes in first class. Got to the airport, took a taxi down here to NBC Tower at the time. Showed up at 8:50, and me and Vandy did a 3-hour radio show from 9 to noon.
That works.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you got to do it,
yeah,
you got to do it.
You got to do
it.
You got to do.
Good sleep. Good sleep in there in first class.
It looks, I mean, you know, whenever international travel opens back up and pay down some of these house expenses and get to go back to Europe, maybe I'll use some points to upgrade. Because I feel like, St. Louis to Chicago, I can hold my...
Yeah, you can be anywhere on that plane.
I can hold my breath for 45 minutes.
Not if you hadn't slept and you got to drive a show in the next morning.
I understand. That's true. I understand.
That makes... Yeah.
But, like, you know, Chicago to Paris.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in first class, the bed and a couple of meals and some top-shelf booze.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds amazing. They got those pods now where you can, like, hey, there's, like, a closet in your seats to hang up your clothes.
There's some woman on TikTok who only flies, like, highest-end luxury flights and then reviews them, and I don't know what her racket is,
I think that might be the racket.
Oh, I guess that's it. But, like, yeah, there's craziness what they have. Like, you're talking about these pods and, like, beds that turn into chairs
with flat screen TVs.
Yes!
Yeah, it seems amazing.
It's outrageous, and I know not of this world.
No, I don't either. I don't either. Sounds good though.
Yeah.
Spiegs, I'm sorry to have broken the news to you earlier that your beloved spring training is officially delayed. But
I knew that was coming. Though.
But they say they're going to meet on Monday, and they're going to meet every day next week.
Well, let's see. I mean, this is the week to do it. You know, so what are the odds that we're here next Friday and angry again? You know, that like this is if they have an opportunity to restoke the anger every few days, or by next Friday, we might be like, all right, finally, we got a deal. I mean, this is your moment. It really is your moment in this next week to make a deal. But we'll see what happens. It's funny because we're talking to Blackjack McDowell today, which I'm very much looking forward to.
It's going to be fun. And 3 o'clock.
And he obviously lived through the strike of 94 that turned into, more strike time. But it was kind of a lockout before spring training of 95.
And the World Series that we were going to have.
Oh, yeah.
On the South Side.
And Frank's MVP year and Tony Gwynn was going to hit 400 and Matt Williams was going to break Roger Maris's record.
Didn't Darren Jackson have like a crazy, like, I want to say DJ was hitting 300 when the strike happened.
That White Sox team was outrageous. Was absolutely outrageous.
I gotta look this up. I think that's right.
And the other team, the Expos, before they traded off everybody, that was the year for the Expos to get to the World Series. But the difference between that, you know, February and March for Blackjack and this one, like President Clinton stepped in and said, you guys need to work this out. They didn't, but he did step in. And then it was replacement players, man. It was Scabs. And they were set to start the year with Scabs on April 2nd. And the day before that was supposed to happen is when Sonia Sotomayor, the judge, stepped in and ended the strike. You know, but it's like, there's no Scabs this time, right? Owners have learned from that. We're not going
to
see.
There will not be. It's not going to get to that point.
No, like
there's going to be baseball, and there's going to be baseball around when there was supposed to be baseball, if they even miss it. But I'm excited to talk to Blackjack McDowell. Guy has opinions on a lot of things.
By the way, Darren Jackson, 104 games in 1994, 104 before the strike.
Okay.
Slash of 312, 362, 455.
Wow.
It was by far his best year.
He was rolling.
In the majors. He's an 817 OPS player that year. Wow.
Yeah. DJ. Look, tell me Frank's numbers at that point.
I'm sure Frank's numbers were like, let me look at it.
Because what? It was August 11, I think, is the last game that they played.
Like, this was the point in time where Frank Thomas was hitting everything.
Yeah, where he was basically either Hank Greenberg, Jimmy Fox, or right-handed Ted Williams.
The
at
first
that
7 years of Frank Thomas is just so ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
113 games for Frank that year.
Yeah, 113 games. I know.
Speaks.
Yeah.
353.
Yeah.
487. 729.
729 slugging.
His OPS plus was 212.
OPS plus 100 is the average.
Yeah.
And so he's at 212.
Right.
So stupid.
How about the counting stats? Where was he on the counting stats? On homers?
38 home runs, 101 RBI
on
in 113 games.
August 11.
He also walked 109 times.
That's how you get a 487 OBP.
Yeah, and struck out 61 times.
Led the league in runs, walks, OBP, slug, OPS, OPS+. Plus.
Yeah.
Goodness,
there you go.
Gracious.
That's pretty good.
He was Ted Williams.
That's
he was.
Pretty good.
Like, oh, yeah,
that's
man.
Pretty good.
Outrageous. But they learned from that. It's okay.
Yeah.
They really learned to put the fans first and make sure that the product also improved while, you know, never denying baseball.
His God. So he had eight straight 100 RBI seasons, and one of the seasons was 113 games. That is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was real good.
Yeah, he's a good baseball player.
Baseball stuff.
Yeah.
My God, that 91 season, Frank walked 138 times.
Yeah.
He was good at baseball.
Yeah, good at baseball. Good at hitting the baseball. Yeah. And a big man.
I got a question for you guys. I am only hip to this dude because of a viral dunk that is making its way around the Twitterverse. He's played a total of, I believe, 5 games for the Brooklyn Nets. Would you either change your name or yell at your parents a lot if you were the Brooklyn Nets' David Duke Jr.?
Yeah, there's been a lot of conversation about this guy when he was in college. I
didn't know about him.
I'd love to know. Well, I guess I could look it up because it's probably on Wikipedia. I feel like you got to go with your middle name.
I think so.
Right? You got to go with your middle name.
Yeah, but even if you go with the middle name, there still is identification.
That's okay. That's all right. But publicly?
Yeah.
As according to Wikipedia, he doesn't have one.
Oh, that's trouble. I'd like to buy a middle name, please. Yeah. I think his teammate, Adolf Hitler Jr., also should do something about that.
So his parents were born in Liberia, and he is the son also of David Duke.
Damn it. They probably didn't know. Were they still in Liberia when he was born?
I don't know the answer.
Well, I don't know.
A lot of times with African names, mm-hmm. you might have a name for the day of the week you were born. So that would be another option. I don't know if that's something that happens in Liberia because of Liberia's history with
really?
The United States. But like my friend Afia, her name is Afia because she was born on a Friday.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
That is. He says he was born in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. And I think he went to Providence College.
Yeah.
I do believe. But yeah, I forgive me. I just kept imagining the team. Like Duke passes it off to Hitler, throws it over to Idi Amin. You know, it's like, that's a hell of a team they got there.
Tough name. Yeah, I mean, it's the Seinfeld episode, right? Joel Rifkin, of the serial killer. He gets announced over the loudspeaker to report to the office. And yeah, Elaine backs away. Uh-huh. It's tough, man. But then there's the line from Office Space. Why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks.
Bolton?
About Michael Bolton.
Yeah, right. You might want to change your name, though, with that. Though.
Right. I don't think David Duke's going to be like, all right, I'm ruined for all the other David Dukes out there.
You know what I will say, though, for the announcers? You don't have to go full name.
Duke.
You could just say Duke.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to go David Duke Jr. with a slam.
Yeah.
Just go Duke.
David Duke Jr. really burns up on that one. Yeah. No, you don't want to do that.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. It's tough. But I don't think you can be mad at your parents in this spot.
Oh, I think you can.
Yeah, I think you can be mad
I think
at
you
folks.
Can.
They're born in Liberia. Like, you know, it's...
Open a newspaper.
It's a junior. Open a newspaper.
grab a World Book Encyclopedia.
I don't think this guy can be mad at his parents. But well, I think he'd take it into his own hands and change his name if he wants.
Maybe he can't be mad at his parents. His dad was named David. His dad was just like...
He's named after his dad.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a
fair
point.
They didn't come from Liberia, settle in Providence, and name him after the Grand Wizard.
Yeah.
Like that would be really weird. Oh, man. That is a tough story, though.
Yeah.
Makes me think of Jerry Sandusky.
Right, the Baltimore
with
Ravens.
The G. Yeah, the Ravens play-by-play guys. Yeah, that is the G is doing a lot of lifting in his name.
Yeah, maybe the junior is doing enough for David Duke. Maybe I'm wrong
about
know. That.
I don't know. But yeah, Lawrence, today we've got Blackjack McDowell at 3 o'clock and Dave Wanstead normally yesterday. But Dave's stance is he's always available unless he's doing something. And yesterday he was doing something. So we moved.
Oh,
so we moved him today. But that something was he was playing in a pro-am for the Champions Tour event, which is down in Naples, because Dave just lives the greatest life ever.
He really does.
Yeah.
I'm so happy he's like a part of Chicago sports like culture again. You know, because there's a long time where people didn't mess with Dave Wanstead, and Anyone who's ever been around, he's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Do you think in 20 years, if he wanted to, Matt Nagy could come here and have a media presence?
No, man. I think it's still going to be too hot.
You think so?
And the thing is that he's a super likable guy.
Hey, man, it was ugly for Wani at the end.
That's true.
Right, so I had that thought at one point during the year. It's like, wow, add 20 years to Matt Nagy and he might be Dave Wanstead.
I think that it would be more likely for Matt Nagy to have a career, if he wants to be more national or be Kansas City. I think that's where he could do his work.
I don't know, man. It's not that high, not that big a profile in KC when you're just the OC. He's got a 12-4 here. If he makes some jokes about a double doink, you know, it's possible.
He's doing a whole show. I can't.
He's got a tight 10.
I like this idea. You know what? Let's make this. Yes, Matt Nagy is going to be a media superstar 10 years from now in Chicago.
Somebody's got to be.
He hasn't been hired yet, so we'll see what he does. Like, you know, like I think that like that the chapter's not yet written. Like, he thinks he's going to be a head coach again.
I think that he should do a walkabout this year.
I know.
But would you have bet money on Lance Briggs and Olin Krutz being our Bears guys?
I would not have bet money on Olin. I would have figured that Olin would have turned his back completely on doing this because he doesn't need to, because he's got so many other things that he could do. Plus, he's raising a house full of kids. I would have never thought that he would be the person to step into that role. And he's been amazing.
Yeah,
at it.
No, for sure. I guess my point is,
and
it
wasn't because like we knew that he knew if he wanted to do it, he could do it. It's just a matter of we could never see Olin wanting to do it.
Yeah, I guess my point is like some people, like somebody will end up being that person. You know, somebody will be that Mike Ditka-esque former coach media presence, which is now Wani.
Maybe it's Allen Robinson.
But you're saying there will be a coach.
Yeah.
You're saying that there will be someone who coached the Bears that in 20 years talks about what it was like to coach the Bears.
Right. Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, right.
The Matt Eberflus show on the Score.
See? And history will look back on them more fondly than they were talked about at the time. It's
with
just
Ruben Spiegel.
Yeah, that's right.
It's time for the Jason Bernstein Show.
With Ben Rosen as the boss, and Owen Parkins as the gambling analyst. Yeah,
I think you guys have set it forward, man.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Where we go.
Yeah, Ruben will be doing all the production music and all the voiceover stuff.
I don't want him anywhere near this industry. Ruben, you can do whatever he wants.
I totally heard that as, I don't want your kid anyway.
I'm going to use all of my power to keep Ruben out of the industry.
Makes sense.
But yeah, Lawrence, that's the show. Dave Wanstead, Blackjack McDowell, and a lot of different, IO appreciation, DeRozan appreciation, All-Star Weekend in Cleveland. We got a lot to do today.
Boys, have yourselves a great show. I'll see you on Monday.